Part 5. Narada advises Ravan. Ravan began heading for the southern quarter of the universe. There were living the Danavas and Daityas, who were the most powerful celestial demons. Surely they would afford him battle. Who else was left for him to conquer? As Ravana flew in the Pushpaka, he suddenly saw ahead of him the celestial seer Narada. Shining brightly and holding his tambura, Narada plucked the strings gently, singing the praises of Lord Vishnu. Ravana had met Narada many times before, and was so he was pleased to see him. The Rakshasa usually had little time for sages, especially devotees of Vishnu. Why, he preferred to kill and eat them rather than speak with them. The rishis and seers generally favored the gods, but Narada was different. He would often give Ravana good advice, and Narada seemed to be his well-wisher. Ravana raised a hand in salute to the sage. Narada came before Ravana and greeted him. Narada could travel freely anywhere within the universe. Why, it was even said that he could leave the material world and journey to Vaikuntha, the spiritual abode of the Lord himself. That abode knows no decay and is free of all suffering. Narada then smiled at Ravana. Narada's large eyes were like two shining sapphires. On his head, his coiled golden hair was held in place by a jeweled silver band. Clad in the soft skin of a black Renku deer, Narada stood in the air in front of Ravana. Ravana invited him onto the chariot. Sitting cross-legged on a golden seat next to the demon, Narada began to address Ravana in gentle and pleasing tones. "Why are you harassing this world of humans, O valiant one? It is already in the grip of death. These people do not deserve to be attacked by you, O Ravan. You cannot be overcome by even the entire heavenly host united together. Who would destroy people who are racked by numerous anxieties, who are surrounded by endless calamities, and who are subject to old age and hundreds of diseases? Narada told Ravana that everyone in the material world would in time go to the abode of Yamaraj, the great lord of death. There was no need for Ravana to kill them. Death conquers all. Even the gods would eventually succumb to death. But if Ravana should conquer Yamaraj, then the entire universe would thus be conquered. The sage knew that Ravana could not overpower Yamaraj, but he wanted to distract the demon from his evil aim of killing more people and overthrowing the gods. Narada also wanted the Rakshasa to greatly increase his sinful actions by assailing the god of death. Ravana would thus create for himself a karmic destiny which would soon result in his own destruction. The demon pondered Narada's suggesting. This sounded interesting. He liked the idea of fighting with the immensely powerful Yamaraj. Perhaps this would be a battle worthy of him. And if death himself were slain, then the whole universal order would be cast into utter chaos. All this appealed to Ravan, who wanted to assert himself over any and all powers in the universe. Ravan nodded slowly at Narada, who was sitting and smiling at Ravan. Ravan told the sage he would leave immediately for the abode of death. As Narada rose up into the sky, playing his tambura, Ravan began heading towards the domain of Yamaraj, the god of justice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Final part, number 6. Ravan conquers Yamaloka. As Ravana approached the ethereal region known as Yamaloka, he saw everywhere living beings reaping the fruits of their actions. He also saw the millions of soldiers and servants of Yamaraj, known as Yamadutas. They appeared fierce and unapproachable. Their bodies were powerful, but hideously deformed. All over they were covered with black hairs that stood erect. In their hands they held nooses and terrible weapons. Their faces were contorted into frightful expressions, and they yelled and shrieked in dissonant tones. Moving swiftly, they struck and tortured people who were running in all directions. Fearful screams and cries resounded everywhere in that dark and desolate place. Ravana saw in hundreds and thousands of people being eaten up by fierce dogs, consumed by fires, or being hurled into vats of boiling oil by the Yamadutas. Others, unrighteous men and women, were running here and there on burning sands, being pursued by Yamadutas holding lances and tridents. Some were being dragged through trees with leaves like steel razors that shredded their bodies. Howling in terrible pain, they would fall to the ground, but then their bodies would again become whole. They would then leap up and race off, only to be quickly caught by the Yamadutas and put through the same suffering again. Ravana witnessed innumerable kinds of punishment being meted out to sinful souls. Searching for Yamaraj, he coursed on rapidly in the Pushpaka. In other parts of that mystical and indescribable region, Ravana also saw people enjoying celestial delights by virtue of their own good deeds. It seemed as though they were situated in a separate dimension of time and space. Beautiful heavenly landscapes stretched out into the distance. Large shining mansions stood next to clear blue lakes. Young men and women with highly attractive forms were dressed in golden ornaments and garments embracing one another and laughing. Excellent food and drink was laid out on gold and silver tables. Musicians played and young girls danced. Ravana saw countless people intoxicated with pleasure and entirely oblivious to the scenes of suffering elsewhere. Leaving behind that glowing region of happiness, Ravana continued deeply into Yamaloka. He crossed over the broad Vaitarani River, which flowed with blood and excrement, and came to another dark terrain, where countless Yamadutas were relentlessly pursuing wicked people. The terrible cackles of the Yamadutas echoed there, along with the howls of jackals and wolves. Everywhere stood people who appeared emaciated and pale, seized with unbearable thirst and crying for water. Descending from his chariot, Ravana began to beat back the Yamadutas, freeing the people they were punishing. He felt no compassion for the pain of others, but he calculated that by oppressing the Yamadutas, he would cause Yamaraj to appear. As the demon freed many thousands of wretched persons from their tormentors, he was suddenly attacked by a massed force of Yamadutas. They assailed Ravan with spears, iron bars, steel clubs, pikes, javelins, and maces. They rose up and began demolishing the seats, daises, pillars, and houses on the Pushpaka. But the indestructible chariot was immediately recreated by the power of Lord Brahma, by whom it had first been fashioned. Ravana's Rakshasa forces fought back against the Yamadutas. Millions upon millions of servants of Yamaraj advanced in great waves. They rained down an unlimited number of arrows and other fierce weapons upon Ravan and his followers. The Rakshasas engaged with the Yamadutas, sending up their terrible war cries. The clash of weapons and the shouts of the warriors sounded like the roaring ocean tossed by a storm. Leaving off the other Rakshasas, the Yamadutas concentrated upon Ravan, covered all over with their arrows and bleeding profusely. The demon king appeared like a great mountain giving forth streams of red lava. Using his knowledge of mystical weapons, the Rakshasa returned volleys of arrows, spears, maces, rocks, and huge trees. This fearful and deadly shower fell upon the forces of Yamaraj, who stood in front of Ravana. By whirling their maces and lances, the Yamadutas repelled all Ravana's missiles and surrounded him in the thousands. They appeared like a mass of carnivorous ants around a large black beetle. Ravan became completely covered by darts and lances, piercing every part of his body. Ravan roared in anger and pain, quickly rising upwards from out of the midst of his assailants. Descending to the ground, he held his bow and placed it, and with it a blazing arrow. The demon invoked the power of Lord Shiva, imbuing the arrow with divine force of that immortal god. As the weapon was released, a sheet of fire rushed across the ground, all consuming Yamaraja's forces. Enormous orange and white flames leaped in all directions, burning the Yamadutta's bodies to ashes. The ground itself became molten, and the forces of Yamaraj fell back in a confused mass. In the flames' wake came innumerable ghostly followers of Lord Shiva, filling the earth and sky with their terrifying forms. They rushed about the battlefield, striking fear into the Yamadutas' hearts. By the power of Shiva's weapon, waves of fearsome carnivorous beasts sprang up from the ground, howling horribly and tearing at the Yamadutas. Ravan set up a victory cry, making the ground shake. Hearing that shout, Yamaraj, seated in his palace, could understand that Ravan was overpowering his forces. He ordered his chariot to be fetched and quickly mounted it. Yamaraj stood in his stupendous chariot with a lance and mace in his hands. Angered, the great god burned with a glaring radiance, and by his side stood the personified form of Kaladanda, the infallible rod of death. His body a brilliant black and his eyes blazing like two red fires. On the other side of Yamaraj stood the very time spirit himself, the destroyer of the worlds, yet fearful in appearance. Standing together, those three deities could not be countenanced. On all four sides of the chariot, which looked like a dark mountain, hung the frightful nooses of death, drawn by a thousand red and black horses, shining with a bright luster, and having 1,000 great wheels, the celestial chariot advanced with a terrible noise. Seeing that god moving off in anger, all the denizens of heaven trembled. Within an instant, Yamaraj's chariot arrived at the spot where Ravan stood roaring. Ravana's followers immediately fled in all directions. Simply upon seeing that awful chariot, some of them fell unconscious on the spot. But Ravan himself was not afraid. Seeing his awful adversary, he felt overjoyed, anticipating the fight. The demon stood firm as Yamaraj hurled at him many blazing javelins and iron clubs. They struck Ravan with a tremendous force, piercing him and causing streams of blood to flow from his body. Ravan raised his bow to counter Yamaraj's attack. Using sorcery, he fired thousands of straight flying arrows, imbued with the force of a thunderbolt. Those arrows struck Yamaraj all over his body, but the god remained unmoved. Again and again, Ravan fired off his arrows and darts, charging them with celestial power. He struck all three deities with his fiery weapons, but they stood firm. Yamaraj sent back at the demon countless barbed lances, which struck him violently on the chest. Stunned by those irresistible weapons, Ravan fell unconscious to the ground. Yamaraj, observing the rules of fair combat, did not further attack his overpowered enemy. After some time, Ravan came back to his senses and saw Yamaraj still stationed before him. he contemplated his next move. This was indeed a formidable opponent. Rarely was the demon extended in a fight. Ravan rallied himself and stretched his bow to full length, releasing celestial arrows which filled the sky. They fell upon Yamaraj like fiery serpents. Being assailed by those arrows and bleeding profusely, Yamaraj roared in anger. As he opened his mouth, fire covered by billows of smoke issued forth. The whole region was brilliantly illuminated by that fire. It was as if the sun itself had risen in that ever-dark place. Witnessing the astonishing battle between Yamaraj and the Rakshasa Ravan, the gods assembled above them. They feared that the dissolution of all the worlds was imminent. Yamaraj's anger would surely annihilate the entire universe. Ravan continuously sent his furious weapons towards the three gods. Death personified, highly enraged by Ravan, then spoke to Yamaraj. My lord, do not exert yourself further. Let me remain alone here with this Rakshasa. I shall make short work of him. No one in the past, no matter how powerful, has been able to overcome me. Every god, rishi, and demon has succumbed to my power. Indeed, all created beings must surely submit to me. There is no doubt about this. Therefore, you need not bother yourself with this wretch any longer. Leave him to me. Yamaraj had become infuriated by Ravan's insolence. He felt insulted, and he told Death to stand back, for he personally would destroy the demon. Yamaraj lifted up his mace and gazed upon Ravan. As it was raised, that mace threw off a halo of blazing fire. Yamaraj held it in his hand like the globe of the sun and fixed his red eyes on Ravan. And just as he was about to release the mace to destroy Ravan, Lord Brahma appeared before him. He was seen and heard only by Yamaraj as he spoke to the angry god. O immeasurably powerful one, this Rakshasa is not to be killed by you at this time. Indeed, I have conferred upon him a boon. That boon is, he cannot be slain except by a human. And this cannot be falsified, lest the order of the universe be cast into chaos. Therefore, hold back your mace. Ravan is not yet destined to die. If you release your infallible mace upon this demon, it will result in the death of all other created beings. Long ago, Ravana had pleased Lord Brahma. By performing difficult asceticism, he had won from Lord Brahma a boon. Brahma had granted Ravan immunity from being slain by any beings except for humans or animals, whom Ravan utterly disregarded. Hearing that command of Lord Brahma, the chief of the gods, Yamaraj lowered his mace. Realizing that nothing could be accomplished by him in the battle, he then and there disappeared from Ravana's sight. When Ravana saw Yamaraj depart, the Rakshasa considered himself victorious and roared in joy. Now he was surely the most powerful being in the universe. What was there left to prove? Even the great Lord of Death had run away from him. Ravan looked around and saw that the slain Yamadutas had been brought back to life by Yamaraja's power. Ignoring Ravan, they continued their grisly task of meting out punishment. Ravan felt he had no further purpose to achieve in Yamaloka. He had established his supremacy, and that was all that he desired. It was time to return to Lanka, his golden city. Getting aboard the Pushpaka, he left that region. Followed by his forces, he flew to the north, heading again for the Earth planet where Lanka was situated. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Antaryami Sabaka Swami.
Tu Antaryami Sabaka Swami.
Tu Antaryami Sabaka Swami.
Tu Antaryami Sabaka Swami.
Tere Chananon Mein Charana. दे तू ही सवारे सवारे
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही सवारे
इस जगह के सारे काम दाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जग दाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जग दाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जग दाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही सुबह तू ही शाम